Sister Gail's brother has passed away, and we're going to be having the services here at the church on Tuesday, so remember them. And then remember the LeFou family as Lisa passed away unexpectedly the other day. It was a shock to us when we heard it, and she'd been to church here, I guess probably, she wasn't here last Sunday, but she was here the last 2 weeks before that, I know, and it's always good to see her, and just a shock that she's gone on. But remember her family in prayer, if you would, and some of them are here this morning, if you just let them know that your heart is grieving for them. I know it would mean a lot to them, but just pray for their family and just pray for peace in their heart that only God can. I tell you, there's no one that can bring peace to your heart and your life like Jesus does. Amen. And if you seek him out, he says, if you seek me, you'll find me when you seek with your whole heart. And if you're finding peace, you need to find peace, you need to be comforted, you seek him out today, he'll give you just exactly what you need. Turn in your Bibles with us this morning, if you would, into Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter number 33. I've been thankful to see what God has been doing and how God has been working. And it just seems like sometimes things work differently than what you intend to and what you were hoping they would. But God works anyway, and in the midst of things that we don't understand, God will do things like we can't even begin to comprehend. Amen. Brother Jeff Faggart stopped by the other night. For those that you wasn't here, of you that weren't here Wednesday night, Joanne, you got to miss Brother Jeff Faggart, and it's always good to see Brother Jeff. If you're interested in going with us on a Baptist history tour, being Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware this year, first week in May, let me know and I'll get you a form here to fill out. I enjoyed it immensely when I went. Our church is going to be the host church this year, so pray as we try to minister to the needs that the guys have that are coming in early and getting ready for the tour. They'll be coming in during the weekend. Some will be here with us in our services, and I'm going to try to work it out where you all get to hear some good preaching. Amen. And a couple of these guys that we are looking forward to hopefully coming. But if you found Exodus chapter number 33, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found favor, or found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me here. There's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Now Moses has some things that are really troubling him and really bothering him, because in chapter number 32, as we read, and as most of you are familiar with the story, how Moses went up on the mount to receive the tablets from the Lord, and the Lord wrote upon the stone tablets with his own finger those things that we consider, that we call the Ten Commandments. And as God told Moses, he needed to get down because the people were sinning. And Moses went back and he saw the people and he saw their sin, and in anger he broke the tablets, and he just confronted the people in their sin and all that was going on. But to make a long story short, God just told Moses, said, listen, this is a stiff-necked people. This is a hard-hearted people. He said, I'm just going to let you take them on in to the promised land by yourself. Moses said, I got a problem with that. I tell you what, whenever God's not going to be with you, you need to have a problem with that. Amen. Moses said, if you're not going to go with me, and you're not going to go with this people, I'm not going either. I don't want to be where you're not. And I don't care how big a crowd it is. I don't care how big a congregation I have here to speak to. If you're not in the midst of it, it don't mean a thing. Amen? And he said, I'm not going. And God said, all right. He said, I'll go with you. Moses said, you're going to go, but we even want a little more. He said, we want to see a little bit of you. We want to see some of your glory. We want the people around us to see your glory. We want everybody to know that as we enter into this place, that your glory is upon us. And I tell you what we need in this world today is a little bit more of the glory of God upon his people. Amen. You want to see his glory today? You can. Moses got to see his glory in his day. Praise God. I've been in some service where the glory of God just came down like unbelievable to try to explain it, how it happened in our youth revival, the faith of our fathers, that Saturday night meeting. Man, the glory of God came down. Amen. He just stirred our hearts and stirred our souls. Folks were shouting the house down. And praise God, we just couldn't contain ourselves for the glory of God that was in our midst and in our presence. Moses said, show me thy glory. I want to see some more. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I'm not satisfied with all that I have. I won't be satisfied until I get all of you and can see all of you and have all of you that I can get. He said, show me your glory. That ought to be our desire in the house of God today, is just to see the glory of God. Amen. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I like it when the glory of God shows up. Amen. I know his spirit's here, his presence here. He comes with me when I come. I don't come here to find him. Amen. I come here because I have him. Amen. But I like it when we get together and he shows up in a special way. Amen. Moses said, show me your glory. How many wants to see God's glory today? Amen. Let me show you what God's word has showed me here, a few things. First, we got to understand glory. I didn't purposely want to get any farther in Sunday school this morning because I was going to be talking about glory, the glory of God. We think about glory. Glory conveys such concepts as praise and honor and esteem that's bestowed upon God. But the glory of God is different than that. The glory of God is such as it causes angels and humans to praise him and to honor and worship him, for he alone is worthy of such a claim and such a glory and such worship. The divine glory was often indicated by a dazzling brilliance, as we see in Exodus 24, 16 and 17, as God enveloped the tabernacle. When God assumed his abode in the Holy of Holies, in the first tabernacle, and then in the temple, it says that the glory of God came down and he filled those structures to where the priests were unable to minister. You know what happens when the glory of God shows up? The preacher can say, sit down and shut up, amen, and let God just speak for himself. Let God just minister on his own behalf. He don't need anybody else to do it, because when he's in the house and when his glory has overwhelmed us and his glory has filled us to where we can't contain it anymore, it just comes out all over the place, and the people begin to shout, and the people begin to worship, and the people begin getting their hearts right. The people begin drawing closer to God because his glory is such that man can't even begin to convey how great he is and how wonderful he is. When Christ was transfigured, the disciples couldn't explain it. They couldn't contain themselves. They couldn't even get a full glimpse of Christ in all his glory. It frightened them. If you want to see God's glory in all its strength, and we'll show you something here in a few minutes, I hope. You got to understand some things. In verses 13 to 17, Moses said, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. For therein shall it be known, and herein that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. You want to experience God's glory, it takes some separation. Amen. It takes some separation. And the only way you're going to separate from the world and separate from the sin that pollutes the world is to follow in the path. That's what Moses prayed for. He said, show me the path to seeing your glory. In verse number 13, show me now thy way, that I might know thee. Amen. There's a path to getting to the place where you get to see God's glory. There's some things that we need to do. There's some things that we need to forsake. We need to change our direction and get away from the things of sin and the things that are of the world. God does not take second place to anything. God does not share his glory with just anything. God will not show up just anywhere in any way, but he shows up where a people have a desire to follow his path and follow his direction and follow his way and get in his word and seek his desire and his direction for your life. You know, the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us all to be saved, to have him in our hearts, to know that we know that we know that if we die and we separate ourselves from this world, we're going to end up in that place that Charles and Steve sung about this morning, that place called heaven. There's a path to seeing God's glory. There's a path, a way that we must go, a place that we can find where we can see it. It's sometimes people say, well, it's so hard. It's so hard in this world to be separated. No, it's not. You just got to choose to be separated. You know, we was with Brother Joe and Sister Cindy the other day up in Lancaster and running around, and Sister Cindy was taking us to all these shops trying to spend my wife's money. She's trying to break me. Amen. But I was in one of those shops, and, you know, I was kind of like, who was the guy on vacation? Yeah, but what was his name in the movie? Clark. Unlike Clark Griswold, when he got to the Grand Canyon, he walks over and goes, goes on. It's about the way I walk to the shop. Then me and Joe go out and sit down somewhere. Amen. Have a good talk for a little while. But I walked past one of these places when I was doing my... And I seen one of these little plaques and stuff that they sell or something. I forget what it was. I think it was a plaque or a banner or something. But it says, if you don't climb the mountain, you'll never see the view. Amen. You want to see God's glory, you're going to have to follow the path. You're going to have to follow His way. Moses said, show me your way. Show me how I need to go. And praise God, if we'll just go the way that God wants us to go, we'll get to see His glory. It might be hard. Folks say, well, it's so hard. My friends forsake me. My family forsakes me. This one forsakes me. That one forsakes me. I can't get this done. I can't get that done. Don't worry about it. You couldn't climb the mountain if it was smooth. Amen. You couldn't get up to the top, the seat of you, if you didn't make the effort. But praise God, you want to see His glory, you just get on the path that He would have you to go, and He'll show you something that you ain't never seen before. I'll tell you what, I've climbed some mountains. And I've climbed the same mountain before. And you know what? The view is just as spectacular every time I get there. But sometimes the view has changed a little bit. But it's still, that's what makes me keep going back. Amen. That's what keeps me keep wanting to go. I keep wanting to get on that path and go that way. I want to see the view from God's mountain, from the place where He wants me to be. You know, the Bible tells us that we have to surrender ourselves. And the Bible says there in Romans chapter 8, we touched on this, man. Well, I felt so bad for Brother Jeff the other day. I texted him and apologized for having to listen to such a poor message. It was God's Word. It's true. But I just couldn't convey what I was wanting to get conveyed about being the children of God, being the sons of God. But the Bible says there in Romans chapter number 8, verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, folks, everybody thinks that we're all God's children. We're not all God's children. We are all God's creation. Amen. God has created each and every one of us in His own likeness and His own image. But the only way we become His children is when we surrender our heart and life to Him, and we are partakers of the new birth that He offers to each and every one of us. That means we have trusted Christ Jesus as our Savior. It means that we've been born again. Jesus said, marvel not. Now, He's talking to a religious man. He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I don't know about all this. And then a couple verses later, in John 3 and 7, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. Amen. You know why you got to be born again? Because you wasn't born right the first time. You know what the problem with the first birth is? We was born into sin and condemnation. The condemnation that sin brings, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that plainly. I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke, but I've been saved by the grace of God. I wasn't born right the first time, but praise God, I got born again. And when I got born again, I got adopted into a new family. I got a new birth. I have a new life. I've got a new testimony. I've got a new outlook. I've got a new everything because now I'm in a new family. I thank God for the new birth. But I thank God that His Spirit spoke to my heart one day and directed me and led me. John 16, 13, Jesus said when the Spirit would come, He would lead us. He would direct us into all truth. You want to see the glory of God, child of God, get where God wants you to be. Amen. For the lost person to see the glory of God, they got to get reborn. Amen. For the child of God to see the glory of God, sometimes we got to get rededicated. Amen. We got to get right back to where we had left off when we were worshiping, when we were fellowshipping, when we were close to Him, when He was with us all the time, and we just experienced the glory of God in everything that we do. In Psalm 32 and 8, the psalmist said, God saying, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God already knows where we need to be. He already knows where we're going to get to see the glory. And He says, lead us there. But praise God, we got a desire to follow that path. There's a path to seeing God's glory. There's a promise. I should have put another point in here, but it's going to take all I can do to get through this. I could have put the plea to see God's glory. Moses said, "Show me thy glory." But we'll add the plea in with the promise. Amen. Aren't you glad that God has told us in His Word that if we want something, we can ask? And if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Amen. You know, a lot of people that pray, and they spend a lot of time in prayer, but they're just wasting breath. Because the only prayer that God hears from a lost person is that plea for salvation, that plea for forgiveness, that plea for the new birth. But then a lot of Christians pray, and they pray, and they want this, and their prayers are a want list. And God says, "We have not because we ask not." But He also says, when we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own lust. He goes on to tell us there in 1 John that when we pray according to His will, He heareth us. You know, if we would learn to get in the Word and make our pleas to God according to His will and His desire, what He wants for us, that we'll find answers to our prayer. People were struggling with things in their life. We struggle with sickness. We struggle with death. We struggle with finances. We struggle with addiction. We struggle with pain. We struggle with everything under the sun, relationships and fellowships and religion and everything else. And we're trying to solve our problems on our own. But if we would just seek God's face and say, "God, show me your way. God, let me just get a portion of you. God, just give me a little bit of your glory," and praise God, He said He would. Amen. Amen. He told the children of Israel when He brought them out of bondage, when He brought them out of Egypt, He said, "I'm going to make you a peculiar people unto me. I'm going to make you a nation of priests unto me." He said, "I'm going to make you a people that have a special relationship with me." That's what He wants. And when you got that special relationship with Him, praise God, you get to see His glory. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but there's nothing like getting to see His glory. Amen. I think it's one of the most exciting things in the world when you see a soul get saved and you get to see His glory. Moses said in verse 18, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Now here's something that's just going to knock your socks off. We get to thinking about the glory of God. Now just think in your mind right now as I say that, the glory of God, what do you picture as the glory of God? Think about it. Man, we think of pure gold and dazzling brightness and whiteness and all these. Isn't that what you kind of get an imagine of? Isaiah said, "I saw Him high and lifted up." God said, "The earth is my throne." The heaven's my throne and the earth is my footstool. Isaiah got to see that. He seen the seraphims and the cherubims and all the creatures that were praising God. John seen Jesus, met Him face to face. The resurrected, soon coming Savior on the Isle of Patmos. He said, "Eyes like brass, feet like fire." Amen. The brilliance of Him was just amazing. We think about the glory of God. We think about those things. But Moses said, "I want to see your glory." God says, "I'm going to show you." But look at what He says. Look at what the glory of God is. Verse 19. What is the glory of God? What did God say he's going to do? And he said, I will make all my goodness. Moses wants to see God's glory. God's going to let him see it. But what entails his glory? It's his goodness. Stop and think about that for just a moment. His goodness. The glory of God is contained in his goodness. Think about his goodness for a moment. Think about just what God has done for us and what God has given us. Think about just how God has blessed us. Look, in his majesty, his immutability, and his sovereignty, we think we have, and we think we got a clue and a key to the glory of God. But how about his grace? How about his mercy? Amen. How about his long suffering? Man, he's patient with us. How about his provision for our daily life? We don't have to worry. We don't have to want. He said we would have our every need provided for. Amen. His care for us. How about his special gifts? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, you talk about goodness. How good is that? Amen. I don't have to go to hell because God in his glory, God in his wisdom, God in his love and his mercy and his compassion, his long suffering, gave me the gift of life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Man, it don't get any better than that. Man, Tammy came and got saved last Sunday morning. You know what we got to see? We got to see a little bit of the glory of God. As his goodness came down. Amen. David came and rededicated his life, and God has been merciful. And man, I tell you what, he's went through some stuff. He's got himself in a bad place. He tried to kill himself one time in a car, running off the road, got all drunked up because of things that were going on in his life. And God has just been dealing with him. God has been merciful. God has been gracious. God has been long-suffering. And praise God, in his goodness, he forgave him of his sins when he come to rededicate his life to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think about how good God is to me. Many times as I fail him, as much as I let him down, but he still blesses me. Amen. He blesses me immensely. He does things that I just stand back and say, well, only God can do that. Amen. Only God can do that. Only God can make things happen that happen the way they happen. Amen. Only God can sell a house in the midst of the worst market crash that there's ever been. Amen. Amen. On the market less than 2 weeks, in three weeks we had that place, wasn't we? Put it on the market, and God sold it. Everybody said it ain't never going to sell. God sold it. I have no doubt about that. 8-9 months later, when everything was at the absolute bottom, as low as you can get, we still had a lot we was trying to sell. And a realtor called us up and said, I can't believe this. He said, I can't believe this. He said, but I've got your lot sold. Amen. He said, these people just buying it for a lot. They're from up in Pennsylvania, and they always just wanted a lot down here and near the river and stuff. And they're not even going to build for a few years, but they just seen the lot was for sale and decided to buy it. This is right in the midst of the worst of the market. When everybody was scared, everybody was losing everything they had, and, you know, we would have lost everything we had it not been for the Lord. Amen. Amen. My wife said, you know, I really loved you to sign the papers on that loan. We didn't have that other house sold. Amen. Amen. We bought a farm, had everything I had in life tied up. And if we'd have went under, we'd have lost everything. But you know what? God is good.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. God is so much better to us than we ever deserve. He blesses us far above our imagination. We can't even begin to conceive how good God is to us. We can't even begin to conceive and to tell, man, I could stand here all day and tell you about all the things that God has done for me and how good He's been for me. May y'all know my testimony. I cut my leg off. They just finished and amputated it and come back out. And the doctor said, well, I decided to see if we could save it. Oh, praise God. I can run. I can walk. I can talk. I'd like to tell everybody about it. It's amazing what God has done. His goodness outweighs everything that has ever went against me in this life. Moses said, I want to see your glory. God said, I'll pass by and let you see it. I'll let all my goodness pass by. The glory of God. Man, we want to see His glory. We can see it every time we get together.
Amen.
Look around the folks that have been saved. Amen. Man, if you could hear the testimonies from the pews of this church, some people don't even realize where some people have come from in this life. Some people don't realize how low God had to reach down and how deep into the miry clay and into the horrible pit to bring them up and to set them on the rock. Praise God, He did it.
Amen.
Man, you get to see His glory. Every time you look into the face of a child of God, you get to see His glory. Every time you get the privilege to come and hear about what God has done in our hearts and our lives. God said, I'll let you see it. I'll let you see it, but there's a place. There's a place that you got to get to, a place where you got to be to see the glory of God. Look at what He said here in verses 21 and 23. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by it, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take my I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not see. Praise God, I want you to know something today. There's a place where you can get to, where you can see all the glory of God that you're able to handle. Amen. God said, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. Amen. You'll never see the glory of God until you get on that rock. Amen. And that rock is right next to God. That rock, His name is Jesus. Amen. It was Him that came and suffered and died and paid for the sins of all humanity. It was Him that was laid in a borrowed tomb that He might prove that death, hell, and the grave could be defeated. It was Him that rose up and is seated now at the right hand of God making intercession for His people. It was Him that said He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. You want to get on that rock? You can get close to God. You want to get to the Father, you got to go through Jesus. And when you get on Jesus, you'll get on that rock.
Amen.
Amen. That rock, it gives you all you need. That rock is better to you than you deserve. Man, I tell you one thing. There's a place that's close to God. And we can get there. Amen. And we can stand there. I can't stand in my own righteousness, but I can stand in the righteousness of Christ. I can't stand in my own goodness. There's nothing good. All my righteousness is, plural, as the Bible says, are as filthy rags. I have nothing to offer but Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. You want to get to the place where you can see the glory of God, you got to get on the rock.
Amen.
Hey, man, you got to get on the rock. Man, there's a place just for you. There's a place God has provided just for you on the rock. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, God said, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. You want to get close to Jesus, you want to get close to God, you can come and you can get on the rock. Amen. He'll save you this morning. Amen. He'll change you this morning. He'll do a work in you that you never imagined could be done. I don't care what's going on. Man, you're lonely. You'll find a friend that's closer than a brother. Amen. How you feel forsaken, you find a friend that loveth at all times. Amen. You find that you're hurting. You'll find the one that has been through all the hurt and the pain and the agonies that this life has to offer. And he understands your hurt and your pain. And he can take away that pain. You're afraid to die. You can come to the one who takes away the sting of death. The sting of death is the law. But the one that gives us victory over the law is that rock, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You got an addiction? Let me tell you what. Rebirth can do what rehab will never accomplish. Amen. He'll make a difference in your life. You're having problems in your marriage. He's the third part of the relationship that can draw you closer together. I don't know what you're facing and what you're dealing with, but let me tell you what. If you'll get on that rock and get close to God, you'll find that your problems can meet their answer, can meet the solution, can meet what's going to make a difference in their life. If you don't know him as your Savior today, I encourage you to come and meet him. Come and meet him. Let us show you in God's Word exactly how you can have that peace and confidence. Man, there's a place that's near him. There's a place. He says, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand. It's a place of humility. It's a place where we get ourselves out of the way. Amen. God said, I'm going to put you in the crack here in this rock, this cleft in the rock. I'm going to put you in there and I'm going to cover you with my hand. I'm going to get you out of the way. When we get ourselves out of the way, then he can pass by. Amen. Amen. When we get ourselves out of the way and we let God have his way, then we can get a glimpse of his glory. We can just be in the presence of his glory. It's not all about us. You get in the cleft of the rock. You get squeezed back here in that little crack in the rock. And God's hiding you back there. There's no way to turn to the left or the right. Amen. There's no distractions. Amen. You get back here in the cleft of the rock and God covers you with his hands. He gets you out of the way. There's no look at me and look at what I'm doing and look at who I am. You're out of the way and God is made forefront. God is made most important. God is allowed to come by your way. God said he'd be near to the one that's of a contrite and broken spirit. Man, if your heart's broken, you're contrite, that means it's poured out. You're earnest and sincere. Man, you can get a glimpse of God's glory. I know folks are going through a lot of things. But man, if you'll humble yourself before God, I don't care how beat down you are. You can leave this house today a shouting. Amen. Because you got to experience the glory of God. Amen. It's a place where God protects us and keeps us. You know, he said, I'll take my hand away and let you see my back parts. For no man can see my face and live. I told you, Isaiah seen him high and lifted up. Got a vision of him. He said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Ezekiel got a vision of him. And he fell upon his face to hide his face from God. Daniel got to see him in a vision. And he said, I had no strength for my strength had left me. John, the revelator, seen him. Said, I fell down at his feet as a dead man. He said, and how can we see the glory of God? He'll give you just as much as he knows you can stand. He'll give you just as much as he knows you can take. He said, I'm going to take my hand away. And I'm going to pass by and let you see my backside, for no man can see my face and live. You know what? You want to see the glory of God? You can see it. And God will let you see all that you're able to handle. Amen. He'll let you see all that you need for it to convey unto you of how glorious and how wonderful He is. One of the most glorious times when God passes by is when He speaks to the heart, to the individual heart, the heart of a lost person that's seeking for answers, the heart of a lost person that feels empty and wants to be filled. You're finding that the things of the world can't do what you was hoping they would do. And the Lord stops by and He says, I love you. I love you. I died for you. I gave my life that you might be able to experience glory. When God comes by the heart of a Christian and knocks, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Amen. That's not written to the sinner, friend. That's written to the church. If you need a little bit of glory, let Jesus in. Invite Him in. Make Him your most honored and most welcome guest. And He said He would come. He said if the invitation has been extended, He would come. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, let's get a song. Do you want to see?